Our hymn of the day is hymn 709. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Who is your shepherd? Are you a wise sheep? Are you shepherding anyone? Are you shepherding anything? On this Good Shepherd Sunday, my first question seems excessively obvious. Jesus, who laid down his life and has taken it up again, he is our good shepherd. Christ is risen and he is our shepherd. Case closed, no question. But is he? Are you following Jesus as a sheep follows a shepherd? Jesus focuses on hearing and following his voice. The disciples struggled to understand what Jesus meant by declaring, "I am the door of the sheepfold." That is pretty hard to wrap your mind around. So Jesus laid aside the mysterious "I am the door" metaphor and switched to a relationship they could better understand. Sheep and shepherd. God had long talked about Israel as his flock, and he is their shepherd. Ancient Israel depended on shepherds and sheep for clothing and milk and meat, not to mention writing material. They get sheep and shepherds. They can grasp that God's people is the flock and Jesus is the shepherd. And when the Lord says his sheep listen for and hear his voice, it doesn't take a Master of Divinity degree to understand that our Savior is pointing us to his word. Followers of Christ live in this world for as long as our shepherd wills, and necessarily we interact with the culture and the economy. We hear many voices, many strange voices. But the word of Christ, recorded and preserved for us in the Holy Scripture, the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, this is our authoritative voice, our primary and final tool for interpreting the world and our lives. The Bible is our guide to our choices and our interaction with the broader world. Can we say this is true for us? Are we mostly guided by Christ and his word in our day-to-day lives? Or is the word of God more like a weekly reminder that is quickly drowned out by the cacophony of voices and the kaleidoscope of images that bombard our senses from early morn to late at night? Are we truly hearing the voice of our shepherd and following him? It doesn't help that today following any shepherd is distinctly out of fashion. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that it is out of fashion to admit that we are following someone. Chart your own path. Be your own person. Make your own way in the world. Just do it, they say. But amen, amen, I say to you, the truth is we are all following someone or something. The world suggests we can and should all be self-directed, autonomous free agents. But this is silly. This mantra is really a play for control by manipulative people and powers who want you to follow them. And we will follow someone, consciously or not, because we are creatures who were made to follow our Creator. The Declaration of Independence from God that was our fall into sin means that we do not naturally follow God's good shepherding. But if you imagine that you aren't following something or someone, be careful, because this is not how we human beings are made to be. We will follow the Lord, or we will follow someone else. It may be a philosopher or a social trend or a popular leader, but we all follow something or someone. The key question is, are we following a good shepherd, or are we following foolishly after folly? Bad shepherds abound, dime a dozen. Jesus says a good shepherd knows his sheep and cares for them. He defends them from wolves and is even willing to lay down his life for his sheep, regardless of how foolish they may be. Bad shepherds fleece their flock, using and even devouring them, all the while making a great show of how much they care for the sheep. But bad shepherds don't love the sheep. They abandon their followers when danger draws near or when they simply cease to be useful. I'll let you fill in the blank with the shepherd who has disappointed and perhaps deeply injured you, maybe a politician, a boss, a relative, a pastor. Shepherding isn't just about Sunday morning. All of life is a gift from God, however we may use it or misuse it. So any bad shepherding or any foolish sheepishness has a relation to God and true religion because God cares about his whole creation. Good shepherds help us know God and walk in his path. Bad shepherds pervert all that God wants for his creatures. We need to realize shepherding is a really broad term. Shepherd and pastor are, of course, the same word, but shepherding is not just a religious concern. King David was a shepherd, charged with leading and caring for the nation of Israel with slingshot and lyre, sword and psalm. Moses was certainly called by God and served a priestly function. He was also a shepherd, literally tending the flocks of his father-in-law. And Moses was also a political leader, both before and after he stepped up to be the redeemer of Israel. We used to commonly use shepherding as a leadership verb and in a positive way, as in, this community leader will shepherd this worthy project to its completion for the good of all. But today, formal authorities are automatically suspect, and nobody's supposed to want to be a follower. We're all supposed to be self-actualizing, in charge of our own lives, not following anything or anyone except our own heart. But can we even claim to be shepherding our own lives? For the Christian, the first thing to consider when asked this question concerns, as we said before, God's word. Does its truth occupy the center of our lives? Do the principles of loving God and neighbor guide us, however imperfectly we fulfill them? Do we take responsibility for the redeemed life that God has given us? Do we get out of bed with a godly purpose in mind for our day? Or do we wake up thinking only of our goals? Or perhaps we wake up with a vacant stare, waiting to be told what's important, waiting to be fed through a screen, waiting to be told what direction our thoughts and actions will have today. Our Good Shepherd comes to us today to reestablish good shepherding and good sheeping, according to his definition. At the heart of good shepherding and sheeping is the cross and empty tomb. And we'll come back to that. But before we do, let's focus a little bit more on this. The principles of shepherding that Jesus declares today are for more than eternal salvation. They are for all of life. Now, don't hear me wrong. The Good Shepherd is most importantly and ultimately concerned with your eternal salvation, with greeting you in heaven. God's most important goal and the most important priority for yourself and for your loved ones is to arrive at that blessed moment when your Good Shepherd will embrace you in his arms and wipe away all your tears, adding you to the forever joyful congregation of the faithful departed. Keep your eyes on that prize by deepening and feeding your faith daily. And at the same time, never forget that your eternal life began the day that you were baptized, which should make some difference in how you live now today. Even as we look forward to the joy of heaven, we are called to be wise sheep and also to do good shepherding right now. The same principles we can draw from our Good Shepherd going to the cross and bursting from the tomb should govern and guide every facet of our lives as Christians. For the dynamics of God's saving work for mankind also reveal who God is within himself. That reality preached by Jesus today is God's desired foundation, the principle of life that he would have define every area of our lives. To be known by Jesus and to know him is to be drawn into a mystery, the mystery of godly shepherding and godly sheeping. And here is where true security and love and joy are found. The way that Jesus saves us is not unique to his relationship to us. It is also essential to the reality of who God is and how the Father and the Son relate to each other. Think for a minute about how Jesus compares his relationship to us with his relationship to his Father. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We might expect Jesus to say something like, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and we rejoice in our shared glory forever and ever. But that's not what Jesus says. He connects the mutual self-knowledge he shares with the Father with laying down his life for us. Right in the middle of Jesus' mutual knowledge shared with his sheep, and also in the middle of Jesus' eternal knowledge shared with his Father, is his self-sacrifice. The cross is essential not only to the relationship between Jesus and us, but it is also essential to the relationship between God the Father and his only begotten Son. The priority of rescuing the sheep and the willingness to endure the pain of the cross, pain for both the Son and the Father, this terrible and wonderful act of justice and love defines who God is. In case we missed the point, Jesus doubles down on this mystery a few sentences later. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Did you catch that? Jesus says the reason the Father loves him is because of his self-sacrifice. Does this mean that the Father wouldn't love the Son if he hadn't gone to the cross? No. The love shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is eternal, unchanging. It has always and will always be the same. So that the Father loves the Son because of his self-sacrifice means that the Son was always laying down his life for us and for the Father. From eternity, the cross was always in view. Selfless sacrifice for the good of others, doing whatever it takes in order to have a beautiful flock of believers to bless forever in heaven, this has always defined who the Son is. It is almost as if he is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world, which he is. How sure is God's love for you? How much does God want to have you and the rest of his flock with him forever and ever? So sure and so much that even though God knew exactly how things would turn out, how we would wander, how earthly shepherds would time and again abuse others, how painful it would be to win us back from Satan, even though the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew all of this before time began, they created us anyway. God freely and lovingly chose to create us for the joy of having us for his very own, even though this meant the cross was always in view. Sacrificial love is at the heart of God. Within the Godhead, this sacrificial love is both freely given and entirely earned, entirely deserved. Loving freely and also serving perfectly are both natural to who God is. For us, whose sins require Jesus to lay down his life for us, God's sacrificial love is undeserved. And yet God has freely loved us in precisely this way. So also, as children of God, as sheep of his sheepfold, sacrificial love and the forgiveness it delivers should be at the heart of everything in our lives. Each of us are given roles where we are followers, sheep to someone else's shepherding. As sheep to imperfect earthly shepherds, we know this will be a bumpy ride. So we are called to wise cross-bearing, always trusting that our eternal deliverance is already assured by the cross Jesus bore for us. God grant us the wisdom to stay close to our true good shepherd through his word and through his feeding, so we can both rightly discern good and bad earthly shepherding and know best how to follow or choose not to follow. Each of us has also been given roles where we are to shepherd someone or something. We are all given faith and the charge to follow Jesus. And we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Christian living is holy and awesome because the holy, holy, holy Lord is with and at work in every believer. God grant us wisdom to truly follow Jesus in the path that he sets before us, to follow by hearing him and gathering to the places where he has promised to serve us, to prioritize hanging out in his good pasture that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. We all have many other roles, callings, as fathers and mothers, as children, brothers and sisters, as citizens, as Christian friends and neighbors to fellow Christians and to unbelievers. In these callings, in these relationships, we are given moments to follow and moments, even whole lifetimes sometimes, to lead, to shepherd others. God grant us wisdom to remember how Jesus shepherds us, not with threats or force, not with anger, but with self-sacrifice and wisdom. Our sacrifices for others do not save us, but we can sacrifice for others because we have been saved by the self-sacrifice of Jesus. And our good shepherd will be in the midst of all of it. Indeed, this is the height of living, the most human we can be when we give ourselves for others. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The great shepherd of the flock of God has laid down his life and taken it up again for you. Rejoice in his victory, which is your victory. Marvel at his love. Receive it every day and so be filled to overflowing, made ready to share that love with others. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.